We Talk Wrestling is now proudly presented by Geek Nation Tours. Check out the Geek Nation Tours New York Comic Con package, combining all the excitement of the convention with a tour of the city and the coolest sights for the superhero fan. You'll recognize locations from films and books and visit geek culture sites like Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash. The time of the geek is at hand. Geek Nation Tours provides fun and unique vacation packages featuring themes such as the Civil War, Harry Potter, board games and beer, sports geeks, in locations such as Germany, Japan, England, and all over America. Visit geeknationtours.com and get your geek on.
Let me introduce you to these fellows to the north. One name is Addy, the other is Mo. Addy's a dick and Mo's just fat. Remember that, these fellows to the north. They're gonna talk wrestling. They're gonna make some jokes. Remember, Addy's a dick, Mo's just fat. Addy's a dick and Mo's just fat. Let's talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling.
Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo.
Hey yo, I am Addy.
Hi.
Hi. Nameless person. What'd you say your name was? Ho?
You said it at the beginning. You said the show was Addy and Mo, and then you said I'm Addy.
Yeah.
I'm not Vince McMahon. I don't think we need to lead people by the hands and tell them when something is funny, for instance.
Right.
By laughing at it.
You remember that survey we did where average IQ of our listeners was... Like, you might have to... You have to be like Enzo and Cass and... Spell it out for them.
Oh. But yeah, but if
which you ironically, your middle is SAWFT, soft.
The thing is, if you throw out Twin Blady from the bottom, dragging the score down.
Oh.
You throw him out, the average goes up a lot.
A lot. Huh.
Yeah.
Well, you're saying there's a little bit too much chlorine in that gene pool?
Hey. He sent us a question. Why don't we open with that?
You want to open with a question?
Yeah, let's open with this question. We got a bunch of questions.
We do have a lot of questions, and we, of course, always thank Twin Blady.
We do.
His constant question.
I thank him for when they were in India, he tried to get the Super Dicks chant started, though it didn't work.
Super Dicks. Super Dicks. Super Dicks. Do you think if Rollins was healthy, the Shield triple threat would have happened at Fastlane? Or Mania.
It's really... I mean, obviously...
Oh, Rollins, instead of Mania.
Rollins was scheduled... I think there's a good chance of that. Actually, Rollins was obviously scheduled to lose the belt to Reigns anyways. Back at the Survivor Series. How long could they have kept that feud going? I think that's till about right... Yeah, till right before Mania. The thing you have to keep in mind is Rollins and Triple H was the scheduled match, right?
Well, I was going to say, if Rollins was healthy... Because, I mean, he got hurt. When did he get hurt? It was like...
right before Survivor Series.
Like October, November, right? Late October, November. So, if he had been healthy, the whole card for WrestleMania would be different.
Yeah.
And therefore, the whole card for Fastlane would be different as well.
Yeah.
Because he'd be building to something different, where it would be Rollins against Hunter.
I think almost for sure then it would be Reigns versus Lesnar at Mania. And it would be Rollins versus Hunter, right?
Right.
So, what happens here... It's still possible.
Would they have done the Shield triple threat?
It's possible.
That is possible, but I think...
But if you're just about to turn Rollins at that point to face Triple H, I'm not so sure. It depends.
I don't think that's a consideration, because it turns out they're retarded.
That is true.
So, they're trying to build Roman Reigns... And they're putting him in with two more popular people than him.
Yeah.
So the whole thing about them turning Rollins and maybe they wouldn't want to do that. Well, you wouldn't want to do it, which means they probably would.
The thing is, though, I mean, would it be weird to have all three of them as babyface guys at the top of the card, but not interacting or interacting either way? All three of them as babyfaces would be a strange thing in this.
And also
another thing is, though, is I've seen them interact so much already. Mm-hmm. Anyways, it doesn't feel like as fresh a match as it should have.
Yeah, they need to be apart for a while.
Yeah,
and I mean even now it's, I mean they're going to push it even further because at some point it looks like Ambrose is going to turn on Roman, and you know in the summer, and or after me, you know, sometime after
maybe
that's
it. Maybe,
but either way they need
or Reigns is going to turn on Ambrose.
Well, yeah, but yeah. The whole thing is that maybe you have to keep the Roman and Ambrose brotherhood apart. Like you have to stop that shit for the Shield reunion to mean anything.
Yeah,
like it has to be, you know, like oh fuck, it's all of a sudden it's like, you know.
Now he's keep getting, in mind though, what getting, you're saying is they have to do that. That's what that would be for the best. That would be good booking.
So it's not what they're doing,
no.
Or what they're ever going to do.
No, because it would be good booking.
The way you do it is you have like Owen, you have Kevin Owens, let's say, and Ambrose. You have Roman Reigns and call it Sheamus, and you have Rusev against Rollins, let's just say.
Okay.
And so then what you have is you end up having a match with, let's say, Owens and Roman. And then Sheamus and Rusev come down and you know, are beating the shit out of him 3-on-1.
Yeah.
And then that's when you have all of a sudden it's like Rollins is out to save because he's feuding with whoever, with Rusev.
Yeah,
and he takes out Rusev. And then a couple minutes later, Ambrose runs down and takes out Owens, who he's feuding with. And then they clear house, and then all of a sudden it's like they, you know, they're all, they don't really notice they're all there, and then all of a sudden they look, and it's like, holy shit, the Shield there, and then they put the fists out, and that's the thing.
Well, that's the thing, is it's when you have something like this, and it
turns
works,
out that was very easy to book.
Well, it was, yeah, and but you kept them apart for a while, and you, like you say, it's much like, it's like anytime I look at when somebody reforms after a long time, I look at the effective ones or somebody teams up for the first time.
Yes.
Like Hogan and Savage and how that was done, right?
Yeah.
Like it's same natural, but they didn't leave you too much into it.
The most recent example I can give you is, as crappy as it turned out to be, well, it didn't turn out to be crappy because they just put on to it with the DX reunion.
That's exactly where I was going.
They both did the crotch chop at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
You know, Vince had his match with Shawn, then was screwing with Hunter, and it made sense for those two guys to get back together.
Yeah, exactly, and we have a common enemy, and at that point where they're finally in the ring together, and they cleared house, and then they looked at each other, and they realized, this is the way it should be, it felt natural, and that's the way it should be, so you can't force it, so... The reunion, but also the three-way. Like I said, I don't think there's money in that three-way the way it should have been if they had done this. Like, they should have been able to build that for, like, a SummerSlam main event.
Yeah.
And I don't know that that's a really strong SummerSlam main event right now, just because the interaction's being so
much. I think it's a strong SummerSlam main event for 2017.
Maybe.
But they came apart.
As soon as that very first time you put Rollins and Ambrose against each other, for like 4 months straight, you know. Well, I guess where they didn't have they had a bunch of matches advertised and never had them.
Yes.
But as soon as you did that, it lost a little something. So
yeah. Well, I mean, but
it was natural because you had somebody who had to want to get Rollins for what he did.
Yeah.
But it was too much. If they had done it once, I think it would have been okay. But they went back to it too often.
Well, how many times did Rollins and Ambrose have matches. They had the one match at the SummerSlam.
They had more than that. They were advertised, at least. They had in a Hell in a Cell. They had the match on Raw. It was quite a bit.
Yeah, that's true.
And there's a lot of interaction where they're in tag teams and just things where they're just...
Yeah.
And it's tough because they're at the top of the card and there's not that many guys at the top of the card. But still, if you want to have a long-term plan, you have to make people... Like, the whole point of what you're booking is to make people want to see it. Think... It's going to be great. I haven't seen it. I haven't really seen it the way I want to. I want to see it, and I'll pay for it.
Yes.
And so that's a That's the psychology that
you're not gonna, you're
that
not
you, they rarely get right correct.
Even Evolution coming back was okay. Like, I didn't mind that Evolution came back.
It came back in a natural way.
Yeah.
Common enemies, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah. So that's our thoughts on that.
Yeah. There we go. So what else we got?
What else do we got? Well, you know, there's this guy, and his name is DJ.
Mm-hmm.
DJ. I believe, in some instances, he goes by the name Jazzy Jeff.
But he's the guy who's got that great exercise, the mustache ride.
The mustache ride, the DJ mustache ride.
Yeah, yeah.
I understand Lana very familiar.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
The Rock was back on Monday for 45 minutes.
It was so great.
Fucking fantastic. Like, it was like, you know, you had AJ Styles and Jericho for like 15 minutes. In a match.
A solid match, yeah.
Solid match. Not a blowaway match, but a solid match.
Yeah.
And
we'll get into AJ.
And AJ won. And then you had probably 35 minutes of The Rock.
Probably, yeah.
And I was like, so that's like basically a little more than a third of your show. Let's say not half, but let's say 40% of your show were those two things. Like, that was a good Raw.
Yes, yeah, true. Because you had a couple segments that were good, that were fun.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's still dumb booking all over the place.
Oh, yes.
But as far as, like, was I entertained for portions? Because the only people I care about on Raw that are regular guys there are AJ now, mm-hmm. and Kevin Owens a little bit less.
Yeah.
And that's it. The only people I care about right now.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I still like Dean Ambrose.
I like Dean Ambrose, but I don't care that much.
Sure.
So, you know? But yeah, I mean, the Rock's backstage stuff when he shows up with The Miz and with Big Show,
yeah.
and with, like, that stuff was incredible. The stuff with the New Day in the beginning of the show, not like, or in the ring, wasn't as strong. But you know, even him going out and going off script was great. Though, yeah. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, crazy entertaining, but it was just great that somebody went off script.
We're about to go off
script. Yes.
He just went outside, and then he just said, okay, and even then he was like, okay, I'm just going to let these people chant Macho Man, and then they're just going to, and I think, given the fact that they were like, that these people were causing such a commotion, that Rock really thought when he gets in front of the mic, these people are going to be entertaining.
Probably, yeah.
And they were just dull as fuck.
Yes, they were.
They were just dressed up and had, like, but no charisma.
The funny thing was, earlier in the night, they had been these guys, the Undertaker, Macho Man, Hulk Hogan, the only Hulk Hogan mentioned in a long time on WWE TV.
We'll get there, too.
The Rock. You know, I mean, they were in the front row on the hard camera.
Yeah.
And they were, the crowd was into them. The crowd was more into them than they were what they're presenting in the ring. So yes. They moved them. They brought them backstage. People booed them. They thought they were being kicked out. Then they brought them back and they moved them behind the hard camera so people couldn't see them. And then The Rock sees them and goes right to them.
Yes.
Ruining all their plans.
Oh, yes.
Oh, it was hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Because people were into them because WWE has told us every WrestleMania, old stars are the only ones that matter.
They're the only ones. They're the big, they're your real stars.
They are the real stars.
They're your real stars. But the other thing is, I mean, get back to the Rock. What was so great about The Rock? He was so entertaining.
Oh, he's so happy. And
that was the key.
Yeah.
Like, you're watching The Rock, and sure, it's stuff that's it's prepared. Though, I mean, it's a loose script, obviously, for The Rock. Like what Kelly would have.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's a loose script for The Rock, so he stays to it to a degree, but always with a little bit of improv as he's performing.
Well, I think it's just a matter of, you're going to go and you're going to make fun of, you're going to say you fucked Lana because she's a slut.
Yes.
Like, that's, okay, just whatever you want to say, just remember, she's a slut and we hate her. So just go for it.
Make sure you marry her and embarrass her and her fiance.
Yeah.
Because we have a lot of heat with them.
True.
Though we have to continue to push him to agree because don't have any top stars.
He is a one-man League of Nations.
Yes,
so,
because everybody else is hurt.
So you go, and then, okay, you're going to throw your keys at Miz. Done, right?
Yeah.
And then you're going to go to the Big Show, and you can do your thing. That was so funny. They're telling me that you won. And you know what? I agree with you. My feet did hit the floor. You won that Royal Rumble. Isn't that crazy? Such is life.
So great. But the thing is about it was, like you said, he's having fun. And that's the difference is, most of the time when you're seeing almost everybody, when you see a Dolph Ziggler or even a Miz or a or Reigns or anybody, when they're doing their lines, their scripted lines,
yeah,
they're not having fun. They're trying to remember the lines. They're walking on eggshells. They're not having a good time. It was refreshing to see. The only guy that sometimes has a good time is John Cena, and when he does it, somehow he gets pandering and, yes, and gets childish, yes, when he's having fun.
Exactly.
But you know,
but the new day.
Yeah. I was going to say, they're the only other act. When they come out there, you can sense they're having a good time, and that's why the crowd likes them.
It's like, well, that ride-along show.
Yeah.
It was like, that's just the New Day.
Yeah.
Like, the New Day is always the New Day.
Yes.
They just happen to be given a microphone. Like, when he's like, oh, where are you coming? He's like, I know why you did it. You didn't. I did it for The Rock. I did it.
That was great. Paycheck. Even The Rock was like...
busted, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but...
And they're like, we got him!
But that's it. They're having a good time.
Yeah.
The Rock's having a good time. And nobody else is having a good... Mick Foley used to have a good time.
Yes.
Steve Austin used to have a good time.
When he used to roll out the ring, and he'd ask people questions. And he's like, what do you do for a living? You know, he's like, oh, I'm a construction worker. There ain't nothing I hate more than a construction worker.
That's awesome.
And then he'd like roll out, he's like, well, what do you do? I work at a Christian bookstore. There ain't nothing I hate worse. And he couldn't even get it out. He just started laughing and he walked away.
He's having a good time.
Yeah.
It's Shawn Michaels, even Triple H at times.
Shawn Michaels.
Those times he was having a good time in the ring and you could tell.
Well, it's because he was taking a lot of pills.
The point is, though, is that that's part of the key, and that's part of when you're scripting everything and when everybody's worried.
Yeah.
I think it was, I can't remember who it was. It was John Morrison on MLW Radio. I was listening to him.
Why?
Talk to Kurt Bauer. Oh, it's great. And he's...
But wait, no, sorry. I'm sorry. It was great. I misheard you then. I thought you said it was John Morrison.
No, John Morrison, when you get away from what they did with him, is great. And you'll see he's great on Lucha Underground, but he's also great. Like, he has a personality. They just never let him show it. And as usual, right? And so he's sitting there going... He's talking about how everybody's walking on eggshells and how it took him a while on Lucha Underground to understand that he could, like... actually have fun,
yeah,
and not have to. And he's talking about this, and then he. But the best part is, he goes. But Vince McMahon will tell you right there. He'll say, "I want you to go out there right before you're about to go on TV." He'll say, he'll literally say this. He says, "He'll go. I want you to go out there and reach for the brass ring, but don't make any waves."
Yeah.
That sums it up to me.
like
how you can't, you know, you're fucking with them, and
yeah,
you don't even realize you're doing it.
You know, to be honest, we talk about Morrison and how they didn't let him. they let him on. I mean,
remember when they him and
Miz and Morrison,
the
Miz and Morrison. When they had their WWE.com little show for 5 minutes, it was great.
That was great.
And then they tried to bring them on to the main. They were on ECW, and they got to
him.
Still no, but they still on ECW. They still got
not
to
so
do
much, yeah,
that, and that was great. But then they. I forget what happened. They split them up. One went to Raw, one went to SmackDown or something, because these guys were getting over in ECW. So it's like, okay, well, let's make them single stars and these other things, and then they floundered.
Yeah,
you know, because they needed to. They still needed to be a tag team, and they still needed to have that feed off each other.
Yeah, well,
and
it's like the New Day. You don't want to ever see the New Day break up.
No,
because they got that chemistry, right? But that's something that really stands out to you about The Rock. When The Rock shows up, he's having fun. He's having a good time. And Chris Jericho back in the day used to have a good time. He's not anymore. He doesn't feel like he's having a good time. He feels like he's forcing having a good time.
He feels like he is... You know what it feels like? It's like, I'm going to come back. I want to work WrestleMania. Because I didn't work WrestleMania, whatever, the last year, maybe the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And the last fucking WrestleMania match he had was against Fandango.
Yeah.
So, like, I think he just wants to, for himself, not have his last WrestleMania match be against Fandango. And then it's like, okay, well, AJ Styles is coming in. Okay, great, I'll work with AJ Styles, and I'll put AJ Styles over.
Yes.
At WrestleMania.
That's the best thing about Chris Jericho, is he'll look at it and go, I got some establishment with this company and to these fans. Here's a new guy. I'm happy to put him over. I was happy to put over Fandango. I'm more than happy to put over AJ.
Yes.
Hunter...
Okay,
he might not do that.
No, he might not. He might not. But the thing with Jericho is, it's like, okay, yes, I'm happy. I want to come in. I want to work Mania, and I want to work AJ. Okay, I don't want to do anything else.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm going to come out, and we're going to do a highlight reel, and then I'm going to be in the Usos' corner.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's totally, nothing else interests, he wants to do his thing, nothing else interests him. They're going to use the highlight reel to push the fact that, it's a top, we're going to say the top three people.
And they did a highlight reel again on SmackDown.
Yeah. And with Ambrose and Rollins, right? Yeah. But it's like, that's all Jericho really wants to do is, let's have this match with AJ, it'll be great, and then I'll go off.
He's there early, but he hasn't really started his program yet. So until he starts his program, he's treading water.
He was so, but he's totally disinterested.
Oh, yes, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so.
But he's acting like he's having fun, but it's an act. You can tell the difference.
Oh, yeah.
You can tell the difference.
So now he's going to face AJ, probably at Mania.
Maybe.
And that should be great.
Well, the thing about AJ is, I already see mistakes they're making, and it worries me. But let's look at the positives here. They booked him well for the Royal Rumble. Unfortunately, their crew was stuck in the snowstorm, so they missed his entrance. I don't know if you saw the re-edited entrance that they've now put on the network.
No.
It's much better. It's him. It's like the screen in the whole arena.
Right.
Instead of, because you remember it was just a close-up on Reigns' face. And he was confused.
Yeah.
When hearing the music. What it is instead is they pull back and they show the whole arena and the Titantron.
Right.
And it shows, I am phenomenal. You see people start to stand up and the cheers start coming. And it's a much more effective, and that's what they wanted to do.
Yes, yes.
But half their crew wasn't there.
Yes,
exactly. You know? So that's why they missed so many camera spots.
Now, have we got confirmation that how they got out was Kevin Dunn chewed his way through the snow?
That's it, yeah. That's what happened. So anyways, they protected him there. The announcers really have been protecting him.
Yes.
The announcers have really been putting him over and whatever. But this guy was in Japan. He's yes. had his back injury. He did some YRG.
A lot.
He did some DDP yoga, though. He did, and that's helped his back, apparently. But then he was in Europe. Like, right before, like, 5 days before he shows up at the Royal Rumble, he was wrestling
Rey Mysterio
in London. And then he flies over and then goes to an ROH show and does his goodbyes.
The next day, and then
he's over and does a... does the Royal Rumble. So this is a guy who nobody in the world wrestling has put in more miles traveling the planet than AJ. This guy will do a show in Los Angeles, then do a show in Montreal, then go to New Japan, then come back. So his schedule is going to get better. I think he needs to get into the rhythm of being on a normal schedule again, at least a semi-normal schedule.
Yeah.
And he needs to get used to that ring.
Well, I don't...
Because that ring is different.
Yeah, there's four sides.
The ropes are different. The ropes don't have quite the spring he's used to. Yeah. They're not as tight. The ropes are looser. The ring's a little bit bigger. It's not as hard a ring, though. That's good for the bumping. He's been bumping at much harder rings.
Well, it's because Stephanie McMahon is in charge of that stuff, right?
Yeah.
So it's looser and bigger.
Yeah. And, And the other thing is he still has to learn the WWE style. Like, he's a great worker, but it's little things that people don't realize. Like, you're supposed to fall on the third punch, or this is when you get up in the point of the match and you feed yourself to your opponent.
Yeah,
like little things like that. The timing, the WWE is very specific and completely different than what he had to do in TNA or New Japan or ROH or anywhere else.
But that's where Jericho is perfect, actually.
Exactly. Jericho can teach him those things. So his work's going to get better. Like, his in-ring stuff is not quite clicking yet. It's going to get better.
Now, I understand you watched the SmackDown.
I did.
And I did not. He beats Axel with the Styles Clash?
Styles Clash. No reaction, though, from the crowd to it. Mm. Beforehand or whatever. And this is where, again, I go, I see the problems. Like, there was a little hint. Remember when they're in the ring and it's Vince and Stephanie?
Yeah.
And Stephanie mentions AJ and the fans start chanting, "We love AJ." And Vince is like, "What are they saying?" And she's like, "Talk about the new guy, AJ Styles." And Vince has this look on his face, like, remember when you used to watch Saturday morning cartoons and they have those Tricks commercials?
Yeah, Silly Rabbit.
Silly Rabbit. Yeah. Tricks are for kids. And I could just see the look on his face was, "Silly fans, pushes are for 6'2" guys."
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, there's something about the look where he's like, I can make money on him as an IC champion.
Yeah.
But we're not... You can love him as much as you want. He's never going to be the guy. Or when he was in the backstage and they asked him, "Who is AJ Styles?" He gets out two sentences. They cut him off because they don't trust him to talk.
Right. Well, that's probably smart.
No. It's like you got a lot. His journey to get to the WWE is interesting. You got footage from him as in Air Paris at WCW.
That's on WWE.com right now. Is watch AJ Styles in WCW.
Yeah, like you got to do. This is one of the things they did wrong with Neville. They debuted him, and then he has a few matches, and then as soon as it was the first one, he's not special.
Yeah.
You got to spend some time telling people who they are and the journey they've come through. Like they do on NXT with Hideo Tommy or Finn Balor.
Or Kevin Owens.
With Kevin Owens, right? You got to spend some time with AJ.
Or the Drifter.
The people knew AJ in Orlando. But it's the farther you get away, people will get he's popular and he's good and there's something about him and he's got a charisma. Mm-hmm. But they won't get interested now unless you do some character development. And all you have to do is tell his real journey.
Well, the thing, though, I think part of
it... So don't do it in the classic interview. Do it in the sit-down, the backstage, the clips,
honestly,
whatever.
I think what benefits AJ Styles is the story you just told.
Yeah.
About his recent journey to get there.
Yeah.
Not only is he Japan, but he'd wrestle in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla.
Yeah.
He would go to Montreal. He'd go to Ring of Honor. He would go, you know, here and there. And so
New Japan, fine.
That's it.
Yeah. Like you whatever, say, Europe, but I mean, yeah. Jersey, all
I'm
pro.
Just talking, exactly. I'm just talking anywhere. I'm just talking in the continental United States of America.
Yeah.
And what's going to happen, okay, is they're going to go to Los Angeles, okay? Mm-hmm. They are going to have possibly less, but just as many fans in their house show in Los Angeles as Pro Wrestling Guerrilla draws. So they're going to know him.
Yeah.
And then you're going to go to Jersey, and people are going to know him. You're going to go to New York, and people are going to know him.
Yeah.
And so you talk about how they knew him in Orlando, and that's probably where he would get the biggest pop.
For
but
sure.
I think he's going to get those all in those major centers.
The hardcores in every center, there's going to be hardcores, and in every center, they're going to know him. And this crowd was dead in total in general in SmackDown, so it's tough to judge. It was Tampa that this one was in. But the point being, though, is you do need to tell people, like, the hardcores know that. But you need to let the rest of the people know. And that's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah.
If you just well, overexpose them through
don't
matches
be afraid.
Now,
don't be afraid of it. Just understand they're not going to do it. If
you just overexpose him on matches, then he's just a guy having a bunch of matches getting overexposed until he loses, and then he's
can we just
something.
Start every We Talk Wrestling with the disclaimer, WWE has no fucking clue what they're doing. Let's go.
You had already mentioned putting in Reigns with two guys more popular.
Yeah. It's like, no, they're just, I mean, and I mean, we're going to talk now, I mean, we can transition from the phenomenal one, AJ Styles, to his counterpart, Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
Who now is probably going to be on a Raw after WrestleMania, as things stand now. And so they're gonna bring Joe up. Because, again, now they have Alberto Del Rio hurt. Sheamus hurt. It's you know, Wade Barrett is still hurt. You've got Cena hurt. You've got Rollins hurt. You know, who there's probably guys I'm missing that are hurt.
Yeah,
right?
not all of them are as major an injury as you might think, but you're right. I mean, yeah.
But their depth.
Their depth
is there. And so if you need to be bringing up these guys and like Samoa Joe and like Sami Zayn and things like that. And so now Joe, who was just thought only to be NXT, has sort of proven that, yeah, he needs to be on this main roster.
He needs to be on this main roster, and he needs to be... Yeah, he should be pushed as their number one heel right now. Coming in, he should get a monster push.
Yeah.
And build him up. And build him up for like 6 months. Take the time. So that whenever you put him in against whoever is the champion at that point, it means something.
Right. And then... WrestleMania 33 will be?
Mm-hmm.
Samoa Joe and Brock Lesnar.
If you do it well, and people will pay for it. People will pay for it. People will want to see it.
If
they will subscribe to the network for that.
You need to give Samoa Joe the Ryback push.
Yeah.
Do
for the Rusev
exactly
push.
What they did with Ryback. Yeah, Ryback or Rusev. Do exactly that. And I actually would do it more like Ryback than Rusev, because Rusev, it was an easy thing with the Russian thing to make him the... U.S. champion.
The thing is, though,
I don't think you give Joe a belt. If you give him
the Ryback push, you'll see that guy who's that alpha male who's dominant and starts building up through people. He doesn't stay a heel because people never want to. Somebody who's dominant like that. So But heel or babyface doesn't matter so much as, holy fuck, this guy's great, this guy's great, this is going to be a great match, I don't know who's going
to
win.
Dream match. It doesn't have to be heel. They don't, like, that's one of those ones that there doesn't have to be this personal issue. It's just,
I want to prove I'm the best.
The dream match. Who's better? People want to know who's better. I'm better. You think you're better? I'm better. Okay, nose to nose. Done. Like when he came in, when Kurt Angle came,
yeah,
right, same thing. You go nose to nose, or in Brock Lesnar's case, you go probably belly button to nose with Samoa Joe, and off you go. Man.
But it doesn't matter. Like Lesnar's 2 or 3 inches taller, but it doesn't matter because Joe carries himself like he's a big guy.
Yeah,
he's a big guy, but he carries himself like he's. You know,
yeah,
like he's 10 feet tall. Which, and if that comes across, how many times do you think Samoa Joe held, by the way, the TNA World Championship? If you were to guess,
if I was to guess,
yeah,
did he ever? Once.
Once.
Yeah.
Morons.
Yeah.
Early on, once.
Yeah, because didn't he have that fucking fans bring the strap thing with Jeff Jarrett?
I don't even think that was for the belt. I think that was just him beating him in a non-title match, and then he didn't get a match for a while. I'm pretty sure when he actually won it, he won it from Christian.
Okay.
Once. Fuck. Idiots.
No shit. Fuck. But, oh, did you see TNA, though? They congratulated AJ Styles on his WWE debut.
I didn't see that.
Those fucking cocksuckers.
They're idiots.
They are fucking retarded.
They are.
Did you hear about their contracts now?
Yeah, they're offering legitimately large contracts.
Yes, they are going to be. It's good because it's nice to see TNA spending the money that they don't have to get these contracts.
Well, they do have a little bit more money because some of their distribution deals overseas have rolled through with pay increases.
Yes.
And the concept, though, is, okay, we're going to pay these guys. Instead of letting these guys book themselves on the independents, we're going to book them.
Yes.
And we're going to take all the money. They get a guarantee.
Right.
They don't get any additional
money. Absolutely.
The problem is that their guys really aren't that over. So it's not as easy to necessarily book as you book.
And here's the deal. Here's the deal. Okay, they're going to offer, say, you know, the... Who did they just
Ethan
re-sign?
Ethan Carter III.
Who did they just re-sign? The Hardys. The Hardys aren't giving up their own booking rights. So they're a bit of a
Especially
separate
Especially
not issue.
Matt, no.
They're a separate issue, right?
Jeff doesn't really work a lot, but Matt does.
Yeah, but they won't. They're a separate issue. But let's say James Storm.
James Storm, yeah.
Okay, James Storm. Or Maria and Michael Bennett.
Sure.
Let's say Maria and Michael Bennett. So let's say they're... Maria, what do you think they're being paid?
$100,000? Probably something like that,
$100,000. So... If they work once a week, if they're booked out an average of once a week, then you need to charge the independent promoter $2,000 a pop.
Yeah.
In order to, so let's just say they're going to work more than once a week, so let's just say it's going to work out to be $1,500 a pop.
Yeah.
That they've got to give Michael Bennett, and then they've got to pay Maria Kanellis as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's going along, and so they're going to book, they're booking her as a package deal, so let's say they paid her $50,000, you know, whatever, right?
Or more.
So, yeah, or more.
Well, she's probably getting more than him.
Yeah, probably. Big John. But, yeah, you got to charge $1,500. No one's fucking paying $1,500.
No, you're wrong.
For Michael Bennett.
You're wrong, actually. I mean, AJ would be getting paid $2,500 in that range.
Yeah.
Samoa Joe would be making about $2,000.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Bennett, if they're on TV, I mean...
Michael Bennett may make $1,000 for the package deal.
Maybe you're right. But if they're booking him two shows as $1,000, like it's not as far
but
off as you
here's
think.
The thing. But people need to want to book them. And people, okay, here's the
that
other
is
part.
The big thing.
Here, the bigger thing, and we talk about it week in, week out. We talk about it with wrestlers. We talk about it with television companies. Now we're going to talk about it with other wrestling promoters. Nobody fucking wants to deal with TNA. So if they can go and they can book someone themselves without fucking talking to TNA, like Jay Lethal, for the same amount of money, we'll fucking just take Jay Lethal then, sorry.
Well, it's true, don't get me wrong. If,
Jay Lethal's a bad example because he's under contract. But.
Yeah, but I know what you're saying, is if there's somebody out there who has some sort of name and they don't have to the hassle of working with TNA, because TNA's reputation is so bad, and deservedly so.
Yes.
You're right. But the thing is, like these guys getting paid that is not as far off as, because the theory is that if you bring in two guys and you spend $4,000 on them and you spend another $2,000 on your Sunday main event and you spend $6,000, if you get 300 people at $40 a head at $12,000, even after paying for your building, when you're paying your local guys $50, if that, you're still going to turn a slight profit plus whatever you can sell merch and whatever.
Absolutely. So, I completely agree with you, but. You're talking about how you can draw how many people? 300?
300.
300 people at $40 a pop. Okay? You can draw 300 people at $40 a pop without Michael Bennett.
That's probably true.
That's absolutely true.
Well, but you do need something.
You can draw 300 people at $40 a pop without EC3. Without James Storm.
Probably.
Without the Wolves.
That's the big thing is not...
They are worthless.
It's how much did the American Wolves add?
Yeah.
50 people?
Well, depends on what the match is.
If that...
They need a match. If it's Young Bucks against the Wolves...
But you're not going to get the Young Bucks.
I'm just saying, though. Like, but if you have a...
I know what you mean.
You know, you need independent... Like, if you have Bourne and Ricochet...
But if you're gonna do the Wolves,
Sydal and Ricochet.
If you're gonna do the Wolves against Crazy Steve and somebody else from TNA, I don't know that it adds 50 people, and then it's not worth it.
Oh, I do know it doesn't.
Yeah,
it doesn't add 5
people. against Robbie E and
Jesse Goddard or
whatever the fuck.
It doesn't matter. And again, then you're paying for 4 TNA guys. You're paying TNA 4 guys, again, at whatever.
But their hope is that they can heat up the product
fucking stupid.
Well, I know. I'm not saying they aren't. But it's not like they just need to pay their entire contract space solely on booking them out. That rolls in with the overseas and whatever they're getting from Pop TV and stuff.
Absolutely. But their brilliant idea is that they're going to make their money back with this. They're going to recoup some of their costs. So if they were going to pay him $50,000, now they could pay him $100,000 because we're going to get $50,000 off bookings from this guy for a year, and we're going to break even.
I don't know that it's such a bad theory. Saying. I really don't know it's such a bad
theory. I understand. No, it is not a bad theory. It is a bad theory for fucking total nonstop action, who nobody wants to fucking deal with, who has a history of fucking people over, who has a history of being retarded when it comes to any sort of negotiation or contract.
That is probably
if
the biggest
thing. Ring of Honor wanted to do this, Evolve wanted to do this, fucking hell, if WWE wanted to do this, that would be fine.
You're right.
TNA, fuck you.
You have a good point.
Yeah.
I'm not going to disagree. That's a good point.
Hey, did you...
I can't disagree with that point.
Let's get away from these cocksuckers. Actually, let's stay on a terrible cause. Did you hear that the WWE's new charitable promotion that they're doing?
No.
They've signed a deal. They do the Special Olympics. They do Make-A-Wish, and now they're going to be involved through their Be a Star thing with the Boys and Girls Club of America.
Uh-huh.
So, I understand this deal was brokered through Mel Phillips.
Yeah, I was waiting for that.
Yeah. So, yeah. And just because you said cocksucker, maybe that was me that said cocksucker.
No, it was.
Oh, yeah? Was it you?
No, it wasn't me.
Huh. The team of Ziggler and the Miz.
Yeah.
The Cleveland Cocksuckers.
I like it.
Yes.
I like it. They love it. They're good friends. Just put them as a team. Nobody cares otherwise.
They do not make better enemies.
No. I don't know if they make good friends.
Why
don't we get to another question?
Okay. excuse me. Goddamn cough.
Yeah.
Hey, there's some anal action on my Twitter.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
Oh, let's see. let's get back to that. Oh, there is. Yeah. Is that Sunny?
Well, she's definitely sharing.
That's wonderful. I don't know.
We have like 11,000 followers. Somebody did it.
Well, she seems to be having a good time, at least.
It's true. It's black. What happens with the main event of Triple H and Roman Reigns for Mania based upon the bad reaction Reigns has been getting? That comes from our good friend Stephen Ajami. AJ.
Oh, my God. Oh.
AJ Styles.
Stephen Ajami.
Yeah. What happens with
Punk? The guy who did our open theme music.
Our theme.
That's awesome.
It is.
Oh,
like it's his Addy.
What happens? I mean, the whole point of this is Vince McMahon has had this in his head forever. We have to anoint this guy at WrestleMania.
Yes.
So again. They're going to anoint again. This guy at WrestleMania.
Again. Well, here's a couple things that we need to look at.
Yeah.
You know, they did the Money in the Bank thing last year. They had their out.
Yes. Right?
Because they didn't want... They didn't want to keep it on Brock.
No.
And they were hearing the reaction to Roman, and they didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
Right? So they thought that Hunter, who is a super fucking dick.
Yeah.
Right?
This team name is different.
Yes.
Than Super Dicks.
The Authority are the super fucking dicks.
Yeah.
Yes.
A little more oomph to it.
Yeah. They got a pop. Right? But the thing with it is it's WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And Triple H is the father of the cool brand.
Yeah.
And people still fucking hate Roman Reigns.
Even Triple H versus Sting, as much as people love Sting, they didn't hate Triple H last year.
No.
It's probably gonna be about 80-20 for Triple H. It was 100-0 at WrestleMania last year.
For Brock. Yes.
It'll probably be like 80-20.
Let's just look at those who do not learn from history.
Yes.
Okay. Are doomed to repeat it. Last year at Fastlane, Daniel Bryan against Roman Reigns, winner goes to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Okay. Roman Reigns booed out of the building because Daniel Bryan is awesome. Now you're going to put in Brock Lesnar, Dean Ambrose, and Roman Reigns, winner goes to WrestleMania. So now you've added two people that are going to be cheered and Roman Reigns booed out of the building.
Yes.
And then they're going to go on to WrestleMania. And then they're going to sit there and
because when he wins, people are going to... This is the problem. When you put him against guys who are more popular than him, and he gets the win, obviously only because he's the chosen one.
Yeah.
Then people... That's when people resent him. And like I said, the producer feels bad for him. I'm starting to, too, because it's not something he does.
Well, this is his fault.
It is... Their inability to book baby faces for years has been incredible.
He seems like a pretty cool guy.
Yeah,
is Roman Reigns. I mean,
and you know what? I think he'd be an excellent number two or number three in a company.
Yeah,
like Randy Orton, or you know, like that guy who is that number two, number three, and he's a good spot there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he can be an occasional world champion, and he can have a real purpose. But
when there's injuries, he could
exactly.
He can step in and challenge the heel for the belt.
Sure. Yeah, but he's not the guy.
No,
and if he was the guy, he wouldn't have to fight so fucking hard.
No.
If you never had to fight this hard for Steve Austin, you know, because he was the guy.
You had to fight this hard for Lex Luger,
and he wasn't the guy.
No,
and even John Cena, when he first won the belt, he didn't have to fight this hard.
Exactly, you didn't have to fight hard for John Cena until you know poopy and things like that.
A little earlier than that.
Yeah, it was earlier than that, but that's you know.
Yeah. Yeah. When he started having to have longer matches, he got exposed. That was the problem at the time.
Yeah, at the time.
When he was in the U.S. Championship, shorter matches, he was fine. People liked him.
Yes.
As soon as he got the guy, he was really popular. He got the belt, and then all of a sudden, he got matches. And you're in a day and age where work rate really means a lot.
The funny thing is,
and it has for a while now.
You didn't have to fight this hard for Dave Bautista, he wasn't the guy.
No, that's true. Right? And that's the other thing is, I still don't know that the guy's there. Like, I look at the roster, and the Brock Lesnar is the guy, but he's not, because he's not going to be there often enough.
Oh, I know who the guys are, but the guys are not...
But Vince's I don't know the guy.
The guy is Kevin Owens, the guy is Sami Zayn, is AJ Styles.
Over Reigns, maybe, but not. He's not the guy in the same way as John Cena. Or,
that's true.
Like, you know, like...
Sadly, the guy was Daniel Bryan, and...
Daniel Bryan, the two closest guys would have been Daniel Bryan and CM Punk.
Yes.
The guy who I think has the best chance to be that guy is Sami Zayn.
Yes.
Because I think he has the best chance to connect with the crowd. Like, you know.
But Sami Zayn's going to come up, and Sami Zayn's going to get to that point, and Apollo Crews is going to come in, and he's going to be anointed as the guy.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. That's exactly how this shit's going to go.
Yeah, I just I don't think I think though the crowd would pick someone like Zayn. I think Vince McMahon looks at him run into the ring at the Royal Rumble and go, well, he's skinny fat.
Yeah,
you know,
looks like Christian, pal.
Yeah, and not seeing what the crowd sees.
Yeah,
and Vince McMahon, this is the same man. Like, let's put it this way: you and I would put AJ Styles besides Braun Strowman, and we know which one is the money.
Yes.
But Vince McMahon thinks the other guy is the money. Vince McMahon made money in 1985 with Big John Studd.
He did.
He thinks Braun Strowman is the next Big John Studd.
That's the giant John Studd.
He made money with it.
He made money with King Kong Bundy, too.
Yeah, but it's not 1985. We look at AJ Styles the same and went, well, more recently you made money with Daniel Bryan or CM Punk. That's the money.
Yes.
But he's not going to think that way. And that's Vince's, like, that's what we're that's what you're dealing with.
You are.
And so, how did we get on this?
Stephen Ashmi asked us, though,
what's going to happen?
Here's what's going to happen at the WrestleMania.
What's going to happen? I can tell you what's going to happen in New York City. It's going to be 80% for Triple H. Reigns will win. But the other problem is, after that, I don't know that there's money in a rematch between Reigns and Triple H. I don't see who Reigns' next opponent is that people give a shit about and that they could say we'll actually get the heel heat.
Yes.
Like, that guy is not there and they're not going to be able to build him up in time. Long term, it's even worse. If Reigns gets the belt, there's not a lot of storylines or guys there for him.
Well, there's no, I said, post-Mania, there's nothing.
No, and even because the guys you're talking about bringing up.
You keep the belt on Hunter.
Yeah.
Who does he lose it to?
Well, exactly.
Right? Who does Hunter lose the belt to? Because Orton's not there, and Cena's not there, and Brock's not around, and, you know, you just be Roman.
How quickly can you bring up Alex Riley and just make him Triple H?
That was fantastic.
Go ahead.
Holy shit. Well, we were eating before the show, and so we put on the WWE Network, as I usually do.
Yeah.
And watched NXT. And two great things about NXT. The first thing that we're talking about, though, is Bullfit comes out for a match.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, then it's like this other music plays. And I kind of recognized the music, but I didn't know who. And then they're like, what the? Oh, is that? Who is? What? And Alex Riley comes out. A-Rod comes out. And the first thing he does is he walks down, and the first thing they do is the camera gets a shot of his back.
Yes.
And I was like, I had to rewind it and pause it and show it. I'm like, look at that fucking back knee.
It's unreal.
This guy, Alex Riley, is a fucking juice monkey.
It's unbelievable.
Holy shit. Like, it's like, wellness policy? Hello. Like, Alex Riley is going to be... I mean, quite frankly, Alex Riley, the next time will be fired because of fucking steroids.
No, because there's a way around the system.
Yeah.
Obviously.
I think that they want to, they're looking to trim in some of the fat, and that's an easy way to get rid
that's
of Alex
That's an easy,
Riley.
yeah, have him fail, because, you know.
Yeah.
The thing about Alex Riley is he's good, though, because he'd be the only guy to fail, because there's no steroids left for anybody else to do.
That's right. Holy shit. And he's jacked up. Like, he is huge. And he looks like Hunter.
And really,
like,
does.
His hair is long and dangly and wet, just like, and is styled just like Hunter from, like, when Hunter had the long hair.
2000.
Yeah, like, yeah, say like 2000. Yeah. His wrists are taped just
exact
like
same
Hunter.
Way.
He's got the black tights just like Hunter, like the same style.
With the logo on the back. Exact same boots.
Same boots he's got. Knee pads are exactly the same. He's posing like Hunter, like going up, like he's doing everything with spitting water.
He's doing, that's the only thing he didn't do.
He walks
he posed
like
over
Hunter.
The ring.
He walks
like he used the fucking spine buster just like Hunter.
Oh,
like it was unbelievable. Like just it was a mimic. It was a mimic of Hunter.
Yeah, it was. It's like,
so this guy's due for a push.
Yeah, he can.
He's probably going to be your next world champion.
So when we're talking about who's going to beat Hunter, not Roman Reigns. Alex fucking Riley. Holy shit. The other great thing on NXT, by the way, was Enzo Amore cutting a fucking promo, which shows me that they should be pulled up to the main roster because they're this comedy team, and that's the first time that I've seen him cut a serious promo.
I've seen it a couple times, but yeah, not
but that was a really awesome, serious promo.
It's funny,
was
though,
still entertaining.
Though. Because right beforehand, though, you're watching him, and you can see that he's reading his lines, getting ready, waiting his turn. But then when it's his turn, he turned it on.
And looked right into the camera.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, it was fantastic. Great delivery. And, you know, basically said he was going to beat he's basically going to beat the shit out of the guy that pumped his gas because he thought it was Dasher Dawson.
Because he
looked so fucking ordinary is the whole point of it.
The thing about him is he would be a great manager. I don't know that he's ever going to be. In the ring, he'll never be great.
No.
But he'd be a great manager in a day and age when they don't have managers.
Yeah.
So.
And a tag
but in a tag team where he could be the talker of the two, that's fine.
Yeah.
But
yeah, Alex Riley, oh, fuck. But anyway, like, to get back to the question is, like, how does this, well, what's going to happen at the WrestleMania? Roman Reigns is going to win, and nobody's going to give a fuck. Or people are going to give a fuck. They're going to boo. They're going to throw shit.
Maybe, yeah. But
yeah,
they might.
They're in Texas. And it's going to be fucking awful.
Yeah.
And like the only like you know what I bet you know what's gonna happen. Here's what's gonna happen. I got it, and it's not gonna work. But this is their idea: ref bump, okay, glass shatter, stunner on Hunter. Roman wins. Austin raises Roman's hand, and they still throw shit at him.
Well, unless it's gonna be Rock bump.
Well, yeah, that's another possibility. Well, because it's in Texas, and Rock's from there.
Yeah. So, but either way.
That's how they got the Longhorns.
Either way. The point is, though, is not only are they going to boo him, what's going to happen next? The only thing you can say is the next program for him that people might care about that they think would be to turn. That's when you turn Ambrose out of jealousy. The problem is, Ambrose can do everything. Ambrose can turn on him.
Yeah.
Ambrose can insult the fans.
Ambrose can rape his mother.
And the crowd, when that night comes, when they face each other, is going to be 90% Ambrose.
Yes.
Because the people now know that it's a work.
Yeah.
So they're going to like who they like, who they think is more talented and more cool, more like that.
Yeah.
More relatable. Not who the storyline tells you to like anymore, because they know it's a storyline.
Yeah.
And that's where they've lost something.
Yeah. That's where Vince is still in the, I know what the people want better than they do, and they don't.
And you got to instead follow that. You gotta follow the flow a little bit.
Vince McMahon was able to get Roman Reigns cheered for what? 2 weeks?
Two, three weeks.
Yeah.
And I said it wasn't gonna work, and it's not.
No, and it didn't. And it's just when you look though, they have no heels, right? And they have no baby faces.
I know. When you have no heels, you have no baby.
You know, you've got Hunter wins, and then who does he fight? Brock. And they put the belt back on Brock.
No. If Hunter wins, there's no opponent for him. If Reigns wins, there's no opponent for him.
Well, there's an opponent, is it? It's Brock.
But
no one will care. They've already done that. They've already had their Kimura on a pole matches.
Yeah.
And whatever.
Yeah.
But and then you have the only thing you could do is you could keep the belt on Hunter, have him, have him defend it once a month for 3 months, and then it's SummerSlam, and Rollins is ready to come back, and he challenges Hunter then.
Yeah.
That's the only thing you can do with Hunter. But do you guys?
But I just don't see Hunter holding the belt that long and defending it that much.
No, I don't either.
And that's why it's not even on the table for me.
No.
So it's, yeah, I mean,
so it's
maybe,
Roman, and then who fucking fights Roman, right?
Ambrose, and then Rollins, and no matter who it is.
We have one more guy that can turn heel on Roman, and nobody wants to fucking see this either, but it's Randy Orton.
Yeah.
You know.
Being there, done that.
Yeah. Oh, I absolutely agree with you, 150%. I mean, look how boring it was last summer, and there was a point to it when he beat him at WrestleMania, right?
Yeah.
He beat Rollins at WrestleMania, and so it's like, okay, that logically makes sense, but then nobody wants to fucking see it. So, it's, yeah, there's nothing.
No. And then you're bringing up these new guys, but you got to establish them. You can't throw them in there too quick.
No.
You gotta establish them. So.
And.
It's that. Instead of the Vince McMahon saying, here's what the crowd wants, I'm going to book long term to get there, give them a story to get them what they want, It's Vince McMahon saying, here's what I want, and I'm going to shove that down their throats no matter what.
Down their throats.
So.
Yeah.
All right, what else we got here?
Well, let's talk about something happy. Let's talk about one of the... we're excited about WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Because we'll get to TakeOver in a minute, but there's also the night before WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
The World Wrestling Federation Hall of Fame induction ceremony.
Sure.
And we know that Sting
is
going into the World Wrestling Federation Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
He's a huge World Wrestling Federation superstar.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard the other
people
going in? All right. Well, let me edumacate you
on this
here. We do have the Fabulous Freebirds set to go into the Hall of Fame. There will be a celebrity, as there always is this year in the World Wrestling Federation Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
You know who that celebrity would be?
The guy who fucks Sonny?
Yes.
On the tape?
Yes. Big Steve. No. Regis Philbin is going into the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Which is... makes sense to me.
All right.
That Regis... if anybody that grew up in and was around in the 90s... Regis and Kathy Lee had a fucking wrestler on their show like once a month.
Sure. They also had, including WCW guys.
That's right, when Hogan went over. They had the fucking Nasty Boys on their show, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
Like, it sunk the lat low.
Yeah.
But I mean, Regis is a long time.
Who's that dog that's making all that noise? Is that yours?
No, that's a neighbor's dog.
Well, tell him to shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up.
Thank you.
Yeah. See?
I thought here we were in the gold encrusted, diamond studded, platinum
encased
studios in the house of Addy.
Yeah.
And it should get rid of the noise.
No, it didn't. Not at all.
Apparently.
No. But, so you've got Regis Philbin, who, I mean, again, long time fan, going back to Freddie Blass.
Mm-hmm. And he fucked Sonny in her porn video.
He did. Regis Philbin actually inducted Freddie Blassie into the World Wrestling Federation Hall of Fame in like 1980 or 1994, I want to say.
There you go.
So,
and he's the same age.
That's true. John Bradshaw Layfield.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Will be going into the World Wrestling Federation Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
They also have to have a woman.
Well, of course they do.
Hall of Fame.
They do.
Who do you think the woman would be that would go in the Hall of Fame?
Let me see. A woman to go in the Hall of Fame. So we need somebody who's going to do a porn video a few years from now.
Yes.
Let's see. Sable?
So it would not be Sable.
Oh, okay.
It would not be...
No. Stacey Keibler.
No, not Stacey
No.
Bigger star than Stacey Keibler.
No, bigger star than Stacey Keibler.
One of
the Jumping Bomb Angels.
Honestly, if you say... you're close. Jacqueline Moore.
I'm looking forward to her porn video. Miss Jackie.
Miss Jackie is going into the World Wrestling
Miss Texas, Hall. Remember she wrestled as.
Miss Texas, absolutely.
So that's why.
Yes. Going into the Hall of Fame. Plus she's black, so they take care of two things at once there. Although you do have Michael Hayes. So it's,
You're covered.
You're covered. But. You're covered.
They should really do this in February, shouldn't they?
Oh my God. Yeah, so the... the Coco Beware of Women.
That's your dog.
Yeah, that one is my dog. Yeah. The Coco Beware of Women is going into the
She's a bigger star.
No, she's not.
She held the Cruiserweight title. She was there for years.
She was there for years.
She was in WCW. She was in TNA even.
Yes.
She has huge arms.
She does. So that's your woman going in. You know, I've also heard that going into the WWE Hall of Fame... I've heard it ain't easy.
Mm.
The Godfather is being inducted into the World Wrestling Federation.
Speaking of porn.
Papa Shango going into the Hall of Fame. And last, but certainly not least, the World Wrestling Federation Hall of Fame is going to be doing some cutting and some strutting. As Hulk Hogan inducts his best friend, Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
Maybe we can bring your dog
into the World Wrestling Federation
the
Hall of
up.
Fame. Well, just there's more. I'm getting text. This whole thing. I'm gonna have to go in a second.
All right.
Because I'm gonna pose a question to you, and then I have to take care of something here while you ramble on incoherently.
Or we could just end the show.
That's true.
Just get to the rest later.
That is true.
We didn't talk Nakamura, but...
No, let's talk about TakeOver. Let's talk about NXT TakeOver. And another thing that's happening on WrestleMania weekend that we care about more than WrestleMania.
Yes.
Yes.
Though now that you've given me the list of Hall of Fame people, I don't know that I care about that more than WrestleMania.
No, it's a perfect Hall of Fame for this year's WrestleMania. It really is.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Jackie, the Godfather, Brutus... I mean, Brutus Beefcake, it will be funny.
Because
it's Brutus Beefcake. And fucking JBL.
JBL will be a good speech, at least.
Yeah, that'll be a good speech. No. But, yeah, it's like, holy shit.
Okay.
Anyway, TakeOver. We've got a hell of a card for NXT TakeOver Texas.
Yes.
We've got Samoa Joe and Sami Zayn as the main event.
Yes.
Or sorry, Samoa Joe and Finn Balor
is the main event. Yeah.
We have Askunt against Bayley.
Yes.
In the best women's match that you can possibly have.
Yes.
On NXT,
yeah.
And the American Alpha is going for the tag team titles.
Yep.
Which is the best team going for the tag titles.
Against the Mechanics.
Yeah.
Dawson and...
Nakamura.
Dash and Dawson. Yeah.
Nakamura. Against Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
Have they ever wrestled before?
Not that I know of.
Yeah, I think that's going to be fantastic. Talk about TakeOver.
Oh, thanks for... Well, at least you gave me something to talk about.
TakeOver.
And TakeOver, it's true that as soon as you see the card, I mean, TakeOver is... You talk about the success that WWE has and how it does seem so simple. I mean, TakeOver is a perfect example of it. What are you offering? Well, you're offering a rematch to a great match before between two guys who are over to their audience. You're offering a dream match. You're giving a guy like Elias Sampson a good spot against Apollo Crews, establishing him as a new. You're putting in a guy like Baron Corbin in against Austin Aries, and that's going to be a guy that... So you're giving us somebody else that can make him look good and help him learn to work. As soon as they signed Austin Aries, I pretty much immediately thought, oh, okay, Samoa Joe's coming up, because that fills that spot, that the guy that's known to the hardcores and is a veteran and can kind of, take that spot. You don't need him and Samoa Joe, because they kind of fill the same role, even though they're different personas. But as far as that veteran guy and that guy that the crowd already recognizes and has a pre-established name, is a good worker, and blah, blah, blah. You don't kind of need more than one of those, because you don't want to be... The NXT wants to have developing guys and a mix of guys that are already established, that go to those hardcores that are their target audience. But you don't want too many, because then you start to look like ROH or TNA or something like that. So you got to have that balance. So as soon as Aries was signed, I thought, okay, that means Samoa Joe's probably coming up. Because he's not a right replacement for Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn's more of a developmental guy. Samoa Joe is more of a guy who didn't need to be developed. I didn't think Sami Zayn needed as much developmental as he did, but in some ways he did. He's gotten better since he's been down there, and he was already great. But this takeover, so I mean, immediately though, I mean, like I say, it's really about we talk about giving the crowd what they want. So you have a little bit of everything. Like you've built up, I mean, people like Asuka. They love Bayley. She connects to the crowd, and then they respect Asuka. And they know that's the best match. And you saved it for WrestleMania, and you've built it slowly where this person keeps on winning. It's just logical. Eventually, Asuka's going to get the title shot, and Bayley is the champion. It's like, this is somebody she might lose to finally. And you know the match is going to be great. And you don't need to overcomplicate it, and so it's just hilarious that here we are, really excited to watch this NXT takeover, and it's far more interesting than WrestleMania, and it's done with booking that is so much the opposite of how they're trying to book WrestleMania. Just, hey, what did the crowd want? Let's recognize that and book backwards to get there, and simple booking.
I disagree with all of that.
Yeah.
No, it is. It's
It's simple booking. It's the benefit of 1 hour, is what it is. You don't have. I'll even say 3 hours because SmackDown and Raw ultimately just repeat itself, repeat it over and over. So I don't even consider that an extra TV.
Well, a little bit less now. A little bit less. I mean, I'm telling you, that Kalisto versus Neville match was awesome, and that was only 6 minutes on SmackDown.
Yeah.
It was great.
But in their minds, Kalisto against The Miz and Kalisto against Neville is the same thing.
That's true.
So, I mean, it's just, give Kalisto a win against the mid-card. Okay, here you go. So, but 1 hour and a concentrated build on the show. I mean, you've got... The other match we didn't talk about was Apollo Crews against...
I did mention it.
Yeah, and Baron Corbin will be against... Baron Corbin.
Well, Baron Corbin against Austin Aries.
Austin Aries, right? So, but it's simple, and like I said, it's not beat yourself over the head with it. It's funny that... they get rid of Enzo and Cass against the Mechanics, pretty quick. So they get their blow off, but... It's like what we were looking at when we were talking about with NXT is it's like, and we talked about Samoa Joe, we talked about Sami Zayn, and so that's why Austin Aries has come in and can come in is maybe not to take. I had said Sami Zayn, but I think you're right. I think it's to take the place of Samoa Joe because they're basically in terms of age and things like that the same, and it's okay. Who comes in now to fill that void? I think you're going to have a year of American Alpha established as a tag team. I don't think they're coming up. Because really, you're going
to... Again, I still think... I mean, the thing is, I see a guy like Nakamura there. And yeah. Nakamura needs to be there for a little while to acclimate himself.
Yes.
But again, I still see SmackDown's a dead brand and NXT taking over there in like a year's time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if that is, then it's a different thing.
Exactly. Then it becomes the main roster.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Exactly, just a separate main roster, but a true, 1A and 1B show.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and if that happens, then that's fine. Because I look around and I say, like, okay, Enzo and Cass, they've done everything. If they're coming, they're coming.
Yeah.
Like now's they can come, right? Sami Zayn.
The thing is, they're baby faces down there who have been surpassed by American Alpha. So and they never got the tag titles. So unless you're going to turn them heel again. And I don't know how well that's going to work. Then there's no sense in them being down there. I'd say they come up right after WrestleMania.
Down there. Well, okay, but so is Samoa Joe and so is Sami Zayn, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, then that's it. I mean, you look at the Raw. What did we get the Raw after WrestleMania? We got Neville and we got the Lucha Dragons.
Yeah.
Right? And so I'm not saying that you only do one, but I think those three are your... I think that's it. That's your saturation point now.
Yeah.
And you can't bring anybody else in for months after that.
Yeah, I mean, how long... I don't know when the next guy who brought up was... Was it... I mean, how long was it before... I don't know.
Who was the next guy? Was it
Kevin
Owens?
I guess it would have been Owens.
Kevin Owens.
And then probably Tyler Breeze after that?
Yeah. Kevin Owens and Tyler Breeze. I don't think anybody else has been...
Yeah.
Been brought up. So, and...
Nakamura will be up as soon as he is kind of... Fitting in a little bit. He's not going to be down there again unless you want to make that the brand in a year's time and get rid of SmackDown.
Yes.
Then you leave him there. So this is, I think, what
don't forget, like, we haven't talked about Carl Anderson and
there. I can't see them at all
this show anyway, but
I mean, maybe they could. The only reason they would be on NXT would be for the Balor Club.
They're the Balor Club, yeah. That's
because otherwise, they're. I mean, obviously, Gallows doesn't need to work down there.
Balor?
And in NXT.
Oh.
And, because he's been in developmental, he's been all around the world, he's been WWE guy.
From London to
And Carl Anderson doesn't need to be
Gallows,
there because you...
Gallows and Reskin.
Carl Anderson doesn't need to be down there because you already have Scott Dawson, and they're pretty much the same guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean exactly the same guy. Maybe Anderson is a slightly better and slightly more charismatic, but not much, than Dawson. So they have the same look. They're about the same size. So I don't know.
I just think that that's why they're being brought. They're the Balor Club.
I guess so, yeah.
I think that's what it is. And
are you wearing a Balor Club shirt?
Yes, I am.
Nice.
So, but I think, again, you're going to...
I'm wearing a Super Kick Party shirt.
You are. Part of the Balor Club.
Mm-hmm.
You have Bullet Club pants on.
There you go. Close enough.
Yeah.
But they're going to have the Elite.
But no, I think you're going to have the Battle Club, and you're going to have Nakamura down there, and then it's just a matter of like how they come out. AJ's on the main roster, and the rest of them are down. And again, I like the idea of bringing it up, bringing NXT up to SmackDown. I think that makes sense. But there's so much in the way of good that can happen there.
Yeah,
because like Hunter's a babyface in NXT.
Yeah.
And can stay away from it. You've got, so you can stay away from this authority bullshit.
It's just awful.
And so, I don't know, I think that it's...
Hunter doesn't show up much. I mean, it's only in takeovers. It's really... And they obviously think they made a mistake not broadcasting last year's event from the San Jose University there.
Oh, yeah.
On the network, and they did.
Yeah.
They
showed it on NXT though, didn't they?
No, I think they showed clips from.
Yeah, maybe it's just clips.
Just clips from. And then show clips from, the NXT people working on the floor at the autograph signs and stuff too, right?
Yes, that's right, at Access.
Access. So, yeah, again, by the way, I have to say, Becky Lynch versus the three-way, or even if it's just Charlotte versus Sasha Banks, based on that match that we saw live at San Jose next year.
Yeah.
Man, finally you give me a woman. Finally, for the first time, a woman's match in the WWE main roster that I'm looking forward to that I think is going to be really good.
Yes, because, and you know why? Because Hunter is going to let them steal the show.
I think he is.
Yeah.
I think he is.
I think you want to put this on the map, then you steal the show here. And I mean, you got Hunter and Roman, you got Brock and Bray. You're going to have Sasha and Charlotte as your three main matches. Again, we still don't know about Taker.
Yeah.
And then
I think a Taker's probably Sheamus. I'm pretty sure it's Sheamus or Roman.
Yeah. And then AJ. I think AJ and Jericho.
Maybe.
Is there... What would it be if it wasn't? I don't see anything.
Could still be Owens. Still could be Owens and AJ.
Then what does Jericho do? Jericho is back for WrestleMania.
Jericho and Ambrose.
Maybe. I still see a multiple match there. But
I think your multiple match could be for the U.S. title.
Yeah. It could be for the U.S. title. I was saying to you earlier, I mean, that U.S. title, I think with Kalisto on it, the WWE really has the opportunity to make that into its X Division title.
Yeah, kind of just a subtle shift.
You know, it doesn't have to be totally, like, you don't have to call it a cruiserweight belt, but I mean, it's like he could fight guys like Neville on longer matches, or there's all sorts of guys that are lighter that he could have matches with and be fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, and why not just make that a flying type belt? And again, you're using your Intercontinental title on Dean Ambrose. He's in your main event of a pay-per-view, so he's your upper...
And keep
he's Kalisto, the upest mid-carder they have.
And keep Kalisto strong on that title for 2 years, and then 2 years when Lucha Underground is unfortunately, even though it's great, gone out of business and Rey Mysterio comes back, Kalisto versus Rey Mysterio will be a money match.
2 years, you say?
Maybe one.
Yeah, I don't think that they're going to get a third season, unfortunately. The second season debuts in Canada tonight at 8 o'clock.
I'm really looking forward to seeing what you think of it. I mean,
I hope I get that. I ordered the channel yesterday.
Oh, okay, good. You should have it then.
And earlier today, I didn't have it. When I woke up, I checked, and I didn't have it yet. So I emailed yesterday right away to say, well, I didn't ask when is that available, because every other time I've called and I remember I got the Biography channel like 10 years ago because they were doing like WWF Biography Marathon.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to watch that.
Yeah.
And so I called and I ordered the Biography channel. We didn't have the network thing. But it happened right away.
Yeah.
And that was 10 years ago. So I don't know what the fuck they've done.
Yeah, you do want to check it out. I think you're going to enjoy it. Everybody seems to enjoy it, except for Jim Cornette.
It is 3 hours, though.
I don't know how that happens. So three episodes
in a row, maybe?
I don't think they've had 3 episodes. So I'm wondering if the first is them filling you in on the first season, some sort of clip show to fill you in on storylines.
That would be good.
I'm hoping that.
I hope Vampiro hosts it. Vampiro!
I think we do need to wrap it up unless there's anything else major that you got to talk to there. It's
You know that Hogan's doing that 1-800-LOANS commercial.
I do.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. But that doesn't matter because he's on his way back to the World Wrestling Federation.
Yes, he is.
To induct his best friend into the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
His friends to the end. Yes. I hope he talks about the screws in his face. And
I think he will.
Yeah.
I think it's a good chance Hulk Hogan's going to make sure that he's talking about screwing.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think Bruce Buffett will take the subway to get there?
Oh, probably.
Yeah. Ah. What a great story that is. But yeah, I am looking forward to we are on the road
to NXT TakeOver.
So I am looking very much forward to the road to TakeOver. And that's going to be fantastic. I'm looking forward to the Hall of Mid-Carders the night before.
And hopefully AJ versus Owens, the only two people I care about in WWE.
It's going to be... WrestleMania. They're not. It's going to be AJ and Jericho.
Maybe.
Yeah, it is. Jericho is not there for any other reason than AJ Styles.
I think Ambrose is a possibility.
I don't think so. I don't think they're going to... They've started the AJ program. They have. They started that
program. But you know what? They also started the program with Ambrose all those months ago. and then dropped it.
That's so true.
So, you know. That's all right, let's get out of here.
Dude, all right. That was actually more
OUT. Moment,
but we are out like a Jewish foreskin. It's at We Talk Wrestling.
What?
At We Talk Wrestling on Twitter.
Yeah.
Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling.
Sure.
WeTalkWrestling.com. is our fantastic website.
It is.
We are on iTunes.
Hey, by the way, I put on the first three episodes of Stick Boy Podcast Talking Wrestling.
Why?
I had put that up on our site and went into our iTunes feed. They have their own iTunes feed now. That was just to give you guys a taste. Oh. So if you enjoyed it, and I've talked to them, they're improving their production values a little bit because they were kind of a little bit too crappy that first episode or so. But
Million downloads, I understand.
Go ahead and you can find that on our sister site, We Talk Podcast, or just follow the iTunes link or whatever.
Yeah.
If you like it, you want to hear a little more.
Yeah. Or just listen to us because we're better. It's fine.
Oh, we are.
Either way.
But I'm not saying don't listen to us. I'm saying listen to more stuff.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
It's free. And theirs is like 45 minutes.
It's true. I am saying.
They just get warmed up.
Only listen to us is really what I'm saying. So.
Good point.
Like, don't listen to music. Don't watch television. Just listen to us.
We have like 500 shows in the archives.
Just go and listen to us. Plus exclusive content.
Of course that,
like Royal Rumble P-Anals.
Yeah. Bischoff and...
yeah.
That one continues. People continue to listen to that one.
Bischoff and Pritchard. Well, speaking of P-Anals, that was Rob Feinstein that invited us in on that one. So, mm-hmm. And speaking of the Boys and Girls Club.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because Ralph Feinstein, of course, a pedophile.
Allegedly.
What? Didn't you see him?
Again, MLW Radio, obviously, I listened to Conan, who described him as that Rob Feinstein. He's creepy as fuck, by the way.
That's awesome. My Conan impression.
That's awful.
It sounds like Scarface.
All right, let's get the hell out of here.
All right. Anything else we have to... Stitcher, iTunes, TuneIn Radio app.
If you want to find us, you can find us. We're all over the place.
Yeah, we are all over the place. So, in the meantime and in between time, that's it.
And Sunny's porn video all over her face.
Yes. Another edition of We Talk Sunny's Porn. Good night, folks.
Yeah, are we off here?
We are off the air.
So, now that Sunny's done a porn...
Mm-hmm.
Think that means she's not going to say yes to my marriage proposal?
No.